All right. A couple things I want to let you know about. Anybody enjoy the music this evening? Yeah, I did. Thank you. Does anyone know why this church exists? Us, yes, you're partially right. I'll give you partial credit. What? What's our mission? We do have a mission. I wonder if I can pick on one of my church members. Let's see here. I'm going to do this periodically, so my church members better get used to this. Charles Hartman, I'm going to pick on you. Come on up. Charles Hartman, can you tell me what the mission statement of this church is?
As a church family, we are called by God to mentor children and youth in a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ, expressing itself through service.
Do you think that involves you a little? Just a little. That's why we're doing this week of prayer the way that we're doing this week of prayer. That's why we help you move into your dorm rooms. That's why you get brownies in your dorm rooms. That's why we have adopted the freshman class, and hopefully next year we're actually going to adopt every new student. Would that be cool?
Yeah.
Every new student who comes here would be adopted by one of the families in this church. And I know that will be a bummer for some of you who aren't going to be new, but we're new this year, but I apologize. What can I say? There are a couple other things. Wednesday night, did you know that every Wednesday night we do something here? We have Super, somebody said it, Super Wednesday. We call it Super because it's spelled S-O-U-P-E-R. We serve soup, yeah. And there's soup that it's in the elementary school behind here. If you ever want to come and have soup and crackers, you're always welcome. You're always invited. You're welcome to come be a part of that. One of the things I'd really like to start doing is having a really awesome song service, kind of like tonight, here. And then maybe some of you will want to break into smaller groups and do small group Bible studies and stuff like that. Right now we have an awesome study going on the book of Daniel. And that's being done by one of our students' parents. So it's awesome. Yeah, sounds like somebody's a child there. So there we go. So I just want to let you know that that's something that's going on. That's one study. But Lisa, are you going to be starting a study soon? Hurry up here while I talk about. We have the Daniel study. We also always have a room that's available just for prayer. So if you just need some prayer, you want to pray, come on over. Have some prayer time with us. Tell us about the one you're going to be starting on Wednesday nights.
Do you guys know Cherie Peters? Anybody heard her speak? She spoke here a few years ago. It's going to be about celebrating recovery. If you've had any addictions in your life, from perfection addiction to pornography, any kind of addiction you can think of, this is where you need to be on Wednesday night.
So that would probably cover almost everybody here. So if you are interested in learning how to overcome addiction of any kind, this is going to be a fantastic study. Starts next Wednesday, is that right? No? Week after home leave. So not this next Wednesday because you're going to be gone, but the following one. And, you know, would you just do me a favor? Would you come and check it out once? One of the things that we do, just once. If you don't like it, no worries. I'm not offended. The people aren't offended. But would you come over here and check it out? And I know there's some Bible studies happening in the Powerhouse. Check one of those out. That's cool, too. But on Wednesday night, man, reconnect with God in the middle of your week. We want to make it as fun and as useful as we can for you. So keep in mind that Wednesday night is Super Wednesday night, all right? The last thing that before I introduce your speaker that I wanted to let you know, anybody remember Butch Huggard from Monday morning? Yeah? Butch and Alice, I don't know if I see them here yet. They were going to try to be here anyway, but Butch's mother-in-law passed away this afternoon. So would you just go ahead and mind bowing your heads while we, you know, lift their family up to God in a special way right now? And if you see Butch and Alice on Sabbath, would you just let them know that you love them, care about them, and hope they're doing okay? I know that would mean a lot to them. So let's bow our heads real quick. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up the Huggards to you. losing Marion is not an easy thing, and yet we're also thankful because she was in a lot of pain and she was hurting, and so we're glad that she's not hurting anymore and that she's at rest. And Lord, that's wonderful that she's not going to have that kind of pain. And Lord, we're looking forward to the resurrection day when you're going to bring her back to life, Lord, and breathe that breath into her that came from you. And Lord, we all want to look forward to that day very much. Please be with the Huggard family again, I pray in your name. Amen. I asked Daniel to stay up here because I wanted him to come up and help introduce the speaker tonight. Daniel, would you mind coming up? The speaker tonight, let's see, her name is Alice, but what's her last name?
Jenks.
Jenks. That's kind of like your last name, isn't it?
Similar.
So what do you know about this woman that's going to be talking tonight?
Well, I am not very old, but all of my growing up years, this lady has mentored me and taught me and played games with me and fed me amazing food. And she is a fantastic lady. This is my grandma, Alice Jenks.
Thank you, Daniel. How can I go wrong with that kind of an introduction? Wow. I want to start out by saying that I've really enjoyed your music. This is the third night we've been here. It's been your kind of songs, but I tell you, the way that it's been done has been very praiseful to the Lord and very special to us older folks, too. I can just imagine seeing all your faces and the whole group here like this. What a choir that will be as you join the angels in heaven someday, singing with them around the throne of God. How about that for excitement? Won't that be wonderful? It'll be fun for all of us, won't it? Well, it's a real privilege to be here with you. And as you found out, I'm Alice Jenks, mother of three grandchildren, grandma of six, and two new great-grandsons. Daniel's our youngest grandson, grandchild. He's our baby growing up to be a real man. It's wonderful. Grandpa Jenks is here tonight, too. And we're both very proud of Daniel as grandparents. We live next door to them, and we are having our 60th anniversary celebration this coming weekend. 60 years. Thank you.
60 years with the right woman.
Well, that's good news. My topic tonight is promises with a guarantee. It'll be done in three parts. I'll tell my life before and after and how it works, and then a conclusion. So let's start with prayer. Father, it's just wonderful to be here with the student body tonight. I know that you are here with us. We claim your promises that where we are together, that you will be here. So we're thankful that the Holy Spirit can be here tonight to teach us, be with us, speak to our hearts, and be with me as I have this message to bring to these wonderful kids. So help me not to be fearful, but to speak your words as I should. And I will thank you and praise you for that, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, my background. I was born and raised into an Adventist family. I was next to the youngest of 10 siblings. I had a very rigid father, Adventist, but very rigid, called him legalism. Very loving mother. She couldn't have been more loving and understanding. But the greatest tragedy in my life was that I lost her at the age of 15. She died of a sudden heart attack. And she left the three youngest children, myself and my two sisters, alone. It was a very difficult time, emotionally and financially. We lived by ourselves in a little cabin near my oldest sister and her family. So essentially, we were on our own. I was baptized at age 11. I loved Jesus very much, and I really tried to show it by my obedience. I was very conscientious, even as a child. My desire was to do everything right. At least my father's legalistic ways kept me on the straight and narrow and kept me out of trouble as a teenager, so I'm thankful for that. I finished the academy and worked full-time for the telephone company. I graduated from PUC Prep School. Do any of you know about PUC Prep School? Hey! Yes, yes. Well, that's where I graduated. I spent all 4 years there, and my mother passed away at the beginning of my sophomore year, and we had a week of prayer meeting quite soon after school started. My sister and I were sitting like over here together in chapel. The speaker was talking about parents, and he quoted the poem about mothers. Some of you know the poem. I'm trying to think of how it starts. But anyway, he got halfway through it. My sister and I both burst into tears and left the chapel. And that was really hard, and it was kind of hard on everybody there. But anyway, we profited by our mother's wonderful love, even though I only had her for 15 years. Well, then it happened. I fell in love hard. Grandpa Jenks just swept me off my feet. He says that I chased him, but don't you believe it. I tell him, "You're the only guy I didn't chase," as if there were 100 other guys, you know. Anyway, we were happily married and a good life. We had 3 children. I had a great husband. Both of us were faithful in church responsibilities, and all seemed well on the surface, but I was not at peace because I inherited my dad's legalism. I was trying so hard to be perfect, a perfect wife, a perfect mother, and obey God perfectly, all on my own. Very frustrating. I was irritable, critical, and felt like a failure. It's a hard job to live like that, you guys. I still loved God with all my heart, but I began to wonder if I had a chance of salvation. I remember asking a pastor how he could know if I was saved. I was really doubting that I would be saved. Well, I was 29 when the miracle happened that I'm going to share with you tonight. I was washing dishes, listening to a Morris Vinden tape, and this is the quote that I heard him share. Now, it's a little lengthy, but since this is the bottom line of my story, I'm going to read it first, the way I heard him read it, and then Keith has helped me to put it up on the screen and we'll talk about it. Some who come to God by repentance and confession and even believe that their sins are forgiven still fail of claiming, as they should, the promises of God. They don't see that Jesus is an ever-present Savior, and they are not ready to commit the keeping of their souls to Him, relying upon Him instead of themselves for perfecting the work of grace begun in their hearts. While they think they are committing themselves to God, there's a great deal of self-dependence. There are conscientious souls that trust partly to God, partly to themselves. They do not look to God to be kept by His power, but depend upon watchfulness against temptation and the performance of certain duties for acceptance with Him. There are no victories in this kind of faith. Wow. Such persons toil to no purpose. Their souls are in continual bondage, and they find no rest until their burdens are laid at the feet of Jesus. Now, all that I've read to you so far just explained how I was quite accurately. And all these things make it so that life was very difficult. It's a difficult way to try to save yourself, so to speak. Well, then this last little paragraph says the easy part. It says, there is need of constant watchfulness and of earnest, loving devotion, but these will come naturally when the soul is kept by the power of God through faith. That's the easy part. Okay, we're on. Oh, I'm going to get over here. Okay. Some who come to God by repentance and confession and even believe that their sins are forgiven still fail of claiming the promises of God as we should do. That sounds like repentance and confession. That should do it all, right? No, it doesn't do it all. Okay. Okay. They do not see that Jesus is an ever-present Savior. I didn't count on Jesus to be ever-present with me. They're not ready to commit the keeping of their souls. I never thought about that. Relying upon Him to perfect the work of grace. I thought I had to perfect that work. Okay? They do not see that Jesus, no, while they think they are committing themselves to God, there is a great deal of self-dependence, and that's what was with me. I was just thinking that I was committing myself, but I was far from it. Okay? There are conscientious souls that trust partly to God and partly to themselves. Wow, was I conscientious? Oh, I was really conscientious. They do not look to God to be kept by His power, but depend upon watchfulness against temptation. I was doing that. And the performance of certain duties for acceptance with Him. I would never say no to a church job. I had to do it. I had to be the one to do it. I was doing everything just right. There are no victories in this kind of faith. Now that hit me like a ton of bricks. Such persons toil to no purpose. Their souls are in continual bondage, and they find no rest until their burdens are laid at the feet of Jesus. Wow, this all just shocked me through and through as I read it. There is need of constant watchfulness and of earnest, loving devotion. But these will come naturally when the soul is kept by the power of God through faith. I don't know how you fit into that. Probably you're all past that and doing just well in your dependence on God. And it was such a relief for me to begin to learn how to claim God's promises. That's what this is all about. I was moved with such excitement. Then I quickly looked up the reference where this came from, read it over and over and over till I could get it into my mind real good. And I realized as I studied it and started studying the promises that there are two parts of promises. God has a part and I have a part. God's part is the promise that He makes. My part is coming to Him and asking Him to make it with humbleness and faith and trusting that He will do it. Because you know, There's one thing that God cannot do. He cannot break a promise. I found that to be true, and he never will. And a very important thing I want to tell you is that, remind you, that God's love is unconditional. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, what country, how old, what family you came from, what you've been through. It doesn't matter. He loves you unconditionally. Just think about that. It's really awesome. In fact, it's very wonderful just to think that we have a Lord like that. But his promises are conditional, and I'm going to show you what that means. Are the promises, the conditions, does that make us work so that we can meet that? No. Does it bring pleasure? Abundance. Okay, so we go back to the screen again. Keith's going to help me through some of these promises. I'm going to show you what I mean by God's part and our part, my part. When I started learning promises, I realized that for me to understand that, I had to make a graph. So I would put my part of each verse on the left side and then line over. And on the right side, I would put God's part. And that's how I started getting really acquainted with the promises. Okay, the first one, call upon me and I will give you rest. Do you kids get tired here studying? You can't wait for Sabbath to come, and then you can't wait to go home on vacation. I know, it's a very tiresome situation for you all. Well, he'll give us rest. Okay, now here, Keith has put for me my part up at the top and God's promise at the bottom. So look at my part here. Submit and call upon God, and the devil will flee from you as God draws near. How about that? Isn't that a good one? Yes, it's wonderful. Okay. Do you have burdens? Huh, we all do, don't we? It's the world we live in. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you and not let you be shaken. Think about that. When you trust in God and he promises you that, he will keep his promise. When you're looking at him and depending on him to keep his promise, he will not let you be shaken. This is my favorite promise of all. I just love it. This covers a lot of things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not your own. Not your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge him. And what's his promise? He will direct your paths. Another translation says, he will make your path straight. Isn't that good news? Instead of going wobbling all over the place trying to decide what's good and what's bad? No. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't matter what your problem is. That promise fits everything. And it's so important to learn to trust God that much. Okay? Oh, be anxious for nothing. But by prayer with thanksgiving, let your praises be known to God. That's a toughie, isn't it? To never be anxious, not be anxious for anything. But the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Our family has experienced this. We've had some real trying illness things in our family, and we started claiming this over those things, and I'll tell you, when you're trying to work and you know that one of your kids has been diagnosed of cancer, it turned out that he didn't have cancer. That was Daniel's dad. He didn't have cancer, but for a week we thought he did. So I can sympathize with you folks who have gone through this cancer thing and know how that feels to hear the news and all that. But we carried that promise with us. In fact, Paul himself brought that promise to us gave one to Dad and one to me with that promise on it. We carried it every day to work. I kept bringing it out of my pocket and claiming that promise, and that's what got us through that situation and others. Okay? If we confess our sins, what? His promise? He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They go so far away, the depths of the sea. God really takes care of them, and that's a wonderful promise. But the condition is if. How about that? If we confess our sins. That's the only problem with the promise, is our part. If we don't keep our part, then we still flounder in our sinning. Okay? This is the last one. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible to you. What does this promise of God's make you kids think of, especially you ASB leaders? What's your theme? What is it? The extreme, ignite. That's a beautiful theme. And I want to tell you that God loves extreme. When it's done in His will, He loves it. That's what He wants from all of us, is to be able to stick our necks out and do things for Him that others might think is extreme, but to Him, it's beautiful. That is if it's done in His will. But you can have extreme things done in God's will and have them be exciting, very satisfying, very rewarding, and something that you will always want to be involved in. I found a little ladybug here. Hey, go away. So I'm proud of you for having that theme. I think it's just wonderful. Okay. Well, I have to confess that I really needed a plain and simple and direct promise after Pastor Ken asked me if I would do this tonight. When he asked me, I wasn't understanding that this was week of prayer and what was going on. And he asked me, and fear crept into my soul real fast. And I asked him, with squinting my eyes, the whole student body? Isn't that what I said? And what do you think he said? He said, yes. And he saw my fear, and he said, I know God will be with you. Duh.
I didn't say the God part. I did not say that.
You didn't say the what?
The God part.
No, he didn't say the duh part. No, he didn't put me down. He just tried to encourage me. But at the moment, my humanity was saying, no. And then when he said, God will help you, I said, of course he will. I always like sharing things about the Lord. Okay, I'll do it. Then I started claiming this problem, promise, it wasn't a problem. Fear not, for I am with you, pure and simple. But could I just say, okay, I'm not going to fear. I'm just going to go up there and I'm just going to do it. What's God's part? I am with you. He also, we cannot work the condition and promises without God being the one to inspire us to do it. His Holy Spirit comes and nudges us and helps us to say, yes, I want to be part of this. I will depend on God to do this because I know He has promised. And then, how about this one that came to my mind and also helped me through the few days here? Jeremiah 1:8 is talking about Jeremiah when he was a young man and he was being elected to be a prophet, and God told him he wanted him to speak to the people. And he said, I cannot talk to them. I am young. And God said, don't say you are young. Go and talk to them, and I will be with you. And then he says, don't be afraid of their faces. I think that's kind of comical. He said, for I am with you. I have put my words in your mouth. Now, how could I not be willing to do this? When God's by my side, he'll put the words in my mouth. He has been helping me prepare this steady for 3 days. And I'm telling you, I wake up in the night with the wonderful thought or idea that the Lord has put into my heart. He has implanted these words that I'm sharing with you in my heart. But I look at your faces. I thought I'd be afraid to look at your faces, but I'm not. You're all so beautiful and with it and wonderful and God's children. It's actually fun to look in your faces. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story about Bill quickly. This is a made-up story, I'll tell you right from the start. Okay, Bill was a senior in the academy, and his parents told him one night that they had a big surprise for him. They shared with him that we are so excited and our surprise is for tomorrow. Tomorrow, we want you to come straight home from school. Don't stay and shoot hoops with your friends like you usually do till we get home from work, but come straight home because we're going to leave work early, going to pick up Mom. We should be at the house by 4. We want you home, but we also want the house to be quiet enough so that when we come up, we only want to toot a couple of times and have you run out because we've got to get to the Subaru dealership before 5. So we're asking you not to play don't have the TV on, no noise, because you wouldn't hear us coming. And if you didn't come out, we'd worry and think you're still back at school. We'd drive back to school. By the time we found you, it'd be too late to go. We wouldn't have a chance to take you to pick up your new Subaru. What was that Subaru? What? WRX Subaru. Daniel said that would be a good one for you guys to want. Yeah, he helped me with his story, you can tell. Anyway, so the plans were laid, and he had definite instructions to come home, be quiet, be ready, right? And the folks made the promise. Okay, all happened that way. But as he was sitting there waiting and waiting, because he was really ready ahead of time, for them to come, he started having funny thoughts. What if this was a dream? My folks can't afford a brand new car, especially the one that costs that much. They've never given me expensive gifts. Legos when I was little, and they helped me buy an iPod, but nothing really elaborate or big. How can they do this? I don't think they can. This must be a dream. Or they must be trying my obedience, trying to see if I will obey them. Maybe they'll reward me in some other way. But it can't be true. But it was true, and he did last it out, and he got his car. But what if the folks had not arrived when they said they would? They made the promise. What would have happened? What?
He wouldn't have been ready.
No. Well, if they hadn't come when they said they would, then they couldn't have got there to get the Subaru. That would have been sad if he'd been waiting. Okay, what if he hadn't kept the condition just to come and just to be quiet? Wouldn't have happened either, would it? No, it wouldn't have happened either. So this is just a funny little thing to show you how it works. Of course, it's completely different with God. God always keeps his promise. And if we're really trusting him, we're going to do the condition part too. So, well, as I was studying the promises, I found that they were all over. Everywhere in the Bible, everywhere you turn, there's a promise. And most of them have conditions, but even God's commands are promises. So you see them everywhere. And I was trying to keep track of them. What I decided to do was use a green pen. I don't know if you believe in marking your Bibles or not, but I believe in marking my Bible. And so I used a green pen, and I would put a P by a promise. And that meant that ready to go. God's promised it, we're ready to go. And then I take a red pen and put a C by it. And that means here's a condition. I better sit up, stop, sit up, take notice, and follow through with it to cooperate with God's promise. And that's been a real blessing to me. My Bible is all marked with P's and C's, and I love it. And then I started a notebook, 5x7 spiral binder. I'm just telling you these things because maybe it'll be an inspiration to you, or maybe you already have a way of keeping track of all your texts. But not only promises, but any text in the Bible that really meant something to me as I was reading it, whatever the topic was, in this case it's promises, so I'd go to my loose leaf notebook and I had everything in alphabetical order and turn to promises and would note it down. So I have pages of promises, but I also have pages on peace, pages on knowing God. And it's such a wonderful thing to look back and be able to see where you've been and where you're going and be encouraged by where you have been. Okay, in conclusion, am I perfect today? No way. But I am very much loved by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, and I'm secure in that love. And it's a joy not to be on a works trip, but to be depending on God all the time. He wants us to depend on him for everything, actually, everything. Some little thing comes up and you have a question about it, just turn to him. Ask him and claim a promise. If you don't have a promise in front of you, you can still ask him. You don't have to have a promise in front of you. And that's the way it goes. God is ready and waiting for you to trust him and to acknowledge that he's able to answer your prayer of faith. Doesn't matter what the needs or problems are, you can't be embarrassed in front of God. He accepts you through all of everything. And all of his promises are for now and forever. He never breaks one. Our promises are quite different, aren't they? We understand our promises more than God's because it's us and because we're human. But I'm just going to tell you a little story about John right now, and then I'll be finishing. Daniel's dad was a dean at Ozark Adventist Academy, and one of his senior boys came to him one day, all excited, and he had this photograph in his hands, and he showed it to him. He said, Mr. Jenks, see what I found. Well, not what I found, what I got today from my girlfriend. Isn't it wonderful? And this is a picture of his beautiful girlfriend, framed very beautifully too. And so Mr. Jenks took it in his hands, looking at it, admiring it, and then he noticed on the front of it she had written, "Dear John, I love you very much. I promise I will be yours forever!" Exclamation mark. And he was pondering that and looking at it, fondling it. He happened to turn it over to the back side and notice something. On the back side, it said, "P.S. If we break up, please return my picture. So what kind of a promise was that? We cannot depend on our promises. Our promises are like ropes of sand, but we surely can depend upon God. And so we want to remember that. And faith or trusting God is just surrendering or giving up our self-sufficiency, which I had to do, and trusting God completely. And I'm telling you, your life can be full of joy and a lot of meaning when you can learn to do this. I don't want to assume, but I'm not assuming that you kids don't know how to do this. Some of you have probably been doing it since you were much younger than you even are now. I was 29 when I learned this. But don't waste your years in meaningless sorrow and troubles when you can be happy starting now. That's that prayer. Our Father, it's with great joy that we study this material tonight. And I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit and that you lead us along the way every day in everything that we have to do in our lives, every decision, every happening. Lord, you're always there and we can trust you. So we thank you tonight and thank you for this wonderful group of kids. Bless them and bless the ASB as they lead out. And we just thank you so much for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Just stay right here. Alice, some of us live an awful long way away from our grandparents.
Yes.
I'm a long way from mine. Mine live in Virginia and Pennsylvania. Would it bother you if some of us who might be a long ways away from our grandparents every once in a while gave you a hug?
You know what? I've been thinking about that this week, and I forgot to mention it. I was going to say, if any of you want to visit with me, ask questions, come and give me a hug, whatever, I would just love it. I love being a grandma. Thank you. I love.
She gives good hugs. Good night.